845, 55 KRCD Talk Station. Happy Wednesday. Join us for lunch today. Listener Lunch, Copper Blue in Milford. Information on the blog page, 55KRC.com. Always love having the docs in the house. UC Health has wonderful physicians. Talked to one yesterday about aneurysms. And today I have in-house Cy Ahmad, Dr. Ahmad. He is a professor of surgery, director of professor of surgery, director division of surgical oncology, director of pancreatic disease center, and associate director of the UC Cancer Institute. He specializes in surgical oncology, cancer, esophageal diseases, GI oncology, pancreatic diseases, and digestive diseases as well. And I could go on. He's been practicing for 27 years, graduated from the University of Maryland School of Medicine. We're pleased to have him here in town because we love the wonderful medical care that UC Health provides. Today, we're talking about pancreatic cancer. Doctor, it's a pleasure to have you in studio today.
Thank you, Brian. It's nice to come in and meet you.
Pancreatic cancer is a particularly deadly form of cancer. Is one of those you're unlike maybe a prostate cancer. If you catch it early enough, you can manage it and deal with it. How about pancreatic cancer?
So pancreas cancer is a tough disease to deal with and treat, but we are making progress. It's estimated that last year about 55,000 people were diagnosed with pancreas cancer.
Mm.
It's the fourth leading cause of cancer death in North America, and it's estimated that in the next 5 years, it'll become the second leading cause of cancer death in the USA. So we really need to make progress in this deadly disease.
Well, I'm always uplifted when I hear about the progress that the researchers are making in cancer treatment, generally speaking. So I got to imagine that that same progress might trickle down to help pancreatic cancer. But let me cut to the chase. How is it that it's increasing exponentially? I mean, you're going up to the second leading cause of death. What's causing the increase?
That's a great question, Brian. And one of the reasons is that the cancers that are ahead of pancreas cancer are getting a lot of funding, like breast cancer, like colon cancer, and prostate cancer. And, you know, funding has lagged in pancreas cancer. And so one of the reasons why we're going around talking about pancreas cancer is we're trying to raise awareness so that people are aware about what we need to do to make progress. And the good news is that we're starting to make progress, and there is hope in the future.
Well, some of the – and I forget what they call them, but there's genetic treatments where they modify it and tailor the cure, if I may be so bold, directly to the patient. Still astronomically expensive, but is that showing some hope for pancreatic cancer as well?
Yeah. So the first step was to understand pancreas cancer, and we've done that. We've been able to sequence the genes in pancreas cancer, and we found four mutations that are consistent in every pancreas cancer. So the next step now is to really find drugs to target those mutations. So this is the beginning of how we make progress, and that's happening now.
All right. Before I get to the symptoms, because I know everybody's going to, what do I need to look for? This is going to freak me out. If you can identify it genetically, could we possibly have ahead of time warning, like, yeah, we looked at your genetic makeup, and you are predisposed to pancreatic cancer, so here's what you specifically need to really be looking out for down the road?
That's a great question. So pancreas cancer can occur genetically. So about 10% of all patients with pancreas cancer have a genetic background. And so when someone's aware of their genetic background, they can certainly undergo a screening or a surveillance program. And at UC, we do have an active surveillance program.
Good.
Where we follow patients before they have the cancer lifelong with CT scans, blood tests. And if we find it early, then we can still cure it. And that's the whole point of that.
That's what I wanted to hear. If you find it early. Is this a rapidly spreading cancer? I mean, is it, you know, by the time you have symptoms, it may be too late kind of deal? I mean, really, and what are the symptoms, doctor?
So the frustrating thing with pancreas cancer, as you've outlined, is that by the time it gets diagnosed, it's usually at a late stage. Because when it's in the early stages, it's usually asymptomatic. When patients have symptoms, the most common symptoms are back pain, abdominal pain, weight loss, change in the type of the bowel movements they're having. Those are symptoms that usually can present. Another one that can present is jaundice. If someone becomes yellow, that can be another symptom or a sign that they need to get evaluated by the medical professional.
Any background types of things that impact the likelihood of getting pancreatic cancer? I mean, yesterday with aneurysms, number one with a bullet, smoking.
Yep.
So
same thing here. So we know that the number one cause, environmental link to pancreas cancer, is smoking. Smokers have a 4 times more likelihood of developing pancreas cancer than non-smokers. So if you smoke and if you have a history of cancer, you need to get on a cessation program. Alcohol use, excessive alcohol use can cause pancreas cancer. Obesity can cause pancreas cancer. So you need to lose weight, become healthy, stop smoking, stop drinking.
All right, and that would fall into the realm of environmental factors. Anything exactly else out there in the world? Are they identified, you know, like chemical exposure, workplace types exposure?
They are, but those are the minority of cases, and those are usually factors that are not all, you know, things we can't affect. But the things that we kind of outline are the things that we should be aware of. And then, of course, knowing your family background. So there are certain cancers that can be linked with pancreas cancer. So you don't have to have pancreas cancer to be at risk of pancreas cancer. There are certain breast cancers that can be linked with pancreas cancer. Colon cancer can be linked with pancreas cancer. Ovarian cancer can be linked with pancreas cancer. So you understanding your family background and really doing some research in terms of, you know, what is your future risk and what things do you need to be looking out for.
Now, is it the pancreas cancer itself that kills the patient, or is it a metastases? Do they metastasize like other cancers?
Yes, exactly right. So by the time if you look at the biology of pancreas cancer, the reason it's frustrating is by the time it gets diagnosed, it's usually been in the body for about 5 years.
Oh, my.
And so, by the time it gets diagnosed, many of these cells have already spread beyond the pancreas and gone to other parts of the body, and that's what we call metastasis. And so once it metastasizes, then we can't cure it, but we can still treat people, even if that happens.
Well, before we get to the treatment methodologies, is it then that, if it's been in your body that long and it has metastasized, is it the other areas of the body that the pancreas cancer spread to that provides the warning sign, like swollen lymph nodes or something else? You're like, oh my God, that's a tip off, and you finally trace it back, and lo and behold, pancreas cancer.
Yeah, it can be both. So pancreas cancer within the pancreas can cause symptoms, and pancreas cancer that spreads to other parts of the body can cause symptoms. So it could be one or the other.
Mm. And what is the current standard accepted medical practice care for, if we're not getting into the genetic stuff yet, which is the really cutting edge thing, what do people experience when they're going through cancer treatment?
Good question. So what we utilize, the treatment algorithm that we utilize is what we call trimodality therapy. So that means three different things. One is surgery, two is chemotherapy, and three is radiation. Sometimes we use chemotherapy and radiation before surgery. That's what we call neoadjuvant treatment. And sometimes we use surgery first, followed by chemo and radiation. And so it depends on the situation and the patient specifics.
And I suppose how far the cancer's progressed and spread through the pancreas depends on the surgical route, whether or not it's going to be effective or not.
Exactly right.
Does everybody recall for the removal of the pancreas outright?
Yes. So that's what I do. That's my profession. So I'm a surgeon that specializes in taking out the pancreas. And so, ultimately, if we can do surgery for people with pancreas cancer, then they can be cured. And I have lots of patients who I've treated who are 5 years out, 10 years out, 15 years out from surgery, alive, well, without the recurrence of cancer. So it's not a death sentence. It definitely can be beat.
All right. And clinical trials?
Very active. There are lots of progress going on both at UC, nationally, internationally, that's showing a lot of progress. So just to give some exciting numbers, there was just a paper published in the New England Journal of Medicine about a month ago that's given survival statistics that have been unheard of in pancreas cancer, median survival of over 50 months, and that's about 5 years after treatment. And so we're definitely making progress step by step in the right direction.
Dr. Simon is my guest here with UC Health. And I knew we were going to get some optimism every time I talk to a cancer specialist, I get that optimism. Like, yeah, it's right there. And, if you've been diagnosed and you're treated now, next time you come in, maybe 2 years down the road, probably a completely different treatment modality because we are learning so much so rapidly. So very excited about that. Now, I want you to explain, if you will, tell my listeners and me about the upcoming patient symposium you have going on.
So this coming Saturday in Blue Ash, we have a pancreas cancer symposium. It's a two-part symposium. The morning part is designed to educate doctors, and the afternoon is specifically geared towards patients. And we have lots of guest speakers. We'll have nutritionists on site so patients can ask questions about nutrition and diet. We have former patients who will speak about their journey and how they beat pancreas cancer. We have doctors specializing in relaxation methodologies that they can help patients with that. We've got organizations that specifically are focused on raising research dollars for pancreas cancer. And then we're going to talk about a program called Know Your Tumor that the Pancreas Cancer Action Network is promoting. The acronym for them is PANCAN, and they're very similar to the Komen Foundation for Breast Cancer. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows the Komen Foundation. Well, the equivalent of that in pancreas cancer is PANCAN. And there's a very active chapter here in Cincinnati. The other group that will be there is a group called Give Hope, which was an organization started by one of my former patients and her family, and they are specifically geared to raising research dollars, and they'll both be there as well.
So there's a lot of support networks out there in the pancreatic community, just like there are with breast and others.
Absolutely.
Again, it's just the level of awareness.
That's correct.
Well, I'm really happy you're doing this symposium. To RSVP listeners, please, you can email Kelly Hummel. It's Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y dot Hummel, H-U-M-M-E-L, at uc.edu. And here's the phone number you just want to call or register online. First, the phone number, 558-2030, 558-2030, or register online at uchealth.com. It's under events. You'll be able to find it by looking for pancreatic cancer. Cy Ahmed, it's a real pleasure having you in. And again, thanks for the optimism. There is hope, and I know there's going to be some great physicians helping people get through this very difficult time over at UC Health. And I applaud you for the work you're doing. And someday, man, you're going to be in here talking about the cure.
I hope so, Brian.
I know you will. In my lifetime, I am that confident.
We're making progress, for sure.
I know you are. Thanks for your time again.
Thanks,
Dr.
Mott.
Folks, tune in tomorrow. We're going to have the Bluegrass Institute on, among others, talk about $54 billion in Kentucky pension out.